Today I was speaking about something non-standard, about non-typical idea of trying to construct series from zeros. And today I will be speaking about even more stupid or more crazy things. So please be prepared. But somehow they work. So it is well believed that for the validity of the Riemann hypothesis or its counterparts to other functions, we need two prerequisites: the functional equation and the Euler product. Euler product somehow appeared, we could say, in our considerations via the sieve. But so far we haven't used the functional equations in any way. And so I will show how the functional equation could come into the stage here. So this is our favorite zeta function, and this is the functional equation. It can be written in many ways. I prefer to write it in a symmetrical way with some factor, which unfortunately has no standard notation in number series, I understand. So this will be this simple gamma factor, and for psi function we have this very simple relation. But we are working with finite Dirichlet series, so we cannot expect this to be an identity. What could we do in the case of finite Dirichlet series? Let us do the following. We have our function zeta of s. C of s. It is a multiple of zeta of s. So we can put it here under the summation sign. But thanks to the functional equation, we have here yet another expression. We can just replace s by 1 minus s. So we can put this factor inside summation also. And then I will do the following. I will sum up these two things and divide by 2. And I will denote the summand f of s. It has such a form. And clearly it satisfies some kind of the functional equation. So for zeta function we had functional equation only when we sum up all the summands, and here we have functional equation for individual summands. So all this looks fine with one small exception. Where is this series converges? This one converges when the real part is greater than 1. This one converges when the real part is less than 0. So most likely this doesn't converge anywhere. Nevertheless, we will do work with this function f of n defined in this nice symmetrical way. Because we need only finitely many these functions to construct our determinants. So we will do the same as before. Not the same, similar. We can see the determinant. Rows correspond to natural numbers 1 up to n. And here we substitute the values of our function. The first difference is that we don't need to use conjugate to these arguments because our function satisfies the functional equation. So the determinant will vanish whenever s is any of these zeros or their conjugate. And again, we can formally expand it into a Dirichlet series with some coefficients. And now I will put everywhere the upper script capital gamma to denote the presence of this gamma factor. We make normalization as before, and we will consider such finite Dirichlet series. Do you notice the difference? Here we have the sum of these coefficients multiplied by our function. But here I multiply by the standard entry because I want to get a real Dirichlet series. This is the first, the second distinction. And the first question is as follows. This determinant will vanish. But why should our sum vanish even at the first zero? This ratio is equal to these two summons. Now we consider only summation over n to power minus s. We disregard powers 1 minus s. So this sum will vanish. But why individual summons would vanish? They need not vanish, and actually they do not vanish, but they give very good approximations to the zeros of the zeta function. Here is just a table showing that our new capital delta with superscript gamma also vanishes at near the zeros that were used for constructing the determinant. And many other properties are similar to what we saw before. We can get a good approximation to the values of the function inside the critical strip, to the left of the critical strip. And also, there is a kind of sieve, but it is not as impressive as it was before. It gives a smaller fraction of initial prime numbers for the same size of the determinant. But for us, the real interest will be the deltas themselves. They are now very interesting numbers. So, as before, we can say the same as before, that this series is something similar to alternating delta function. We again divide this finite series by zeta function, obtain some new function. And as I said, we can approximate very well zeta function by such ratios. All this is similar as before. And the answer is yes, it gives good approximations. But now there is a great difference. So this is the picture of these numbers mu from previous 2 days, that is without gamma factor. These mu's decrease sharply and then they grow up. For our new mu numbers with superscript gamma, the picture is different. Again, these numbers go down. But then we see here 2 horizontal rows. After that, it grows up also. So let us examine this horizontal line closely. I will use 2 colors named magenta to distinguish the case when mu is positive and green when it is negative, because here we take the absolute value. And we see that on this level we have all positive mu. But here there is a change of signs, and also there is a change of signs here. And for different values of capital N, the situation is the same. Here we have the same sign, here we have changes of the signs. in a very chaotic order, I don't have any idea why some values are positive and others are negative. Let us have a closer look at this line. So it is something close to 10 to power minus 681. And you can see that the points here correspond to to 9, 11, 13, 16, 17, 19, and so on. So it turns out that points on this level correspond to prime numbers and powers of prime numbers. So instead of the cipher Rasvenus, we have another way to discover prime numbers from zeros of zeta function. And that is if you look at only this level, numbers close to 10 to minus 681. And here we see that there is some further splitting. There are some numbers going here, and some goes here and here. If you would look attentively, you would notice that here we have prime numbers only. Here we have squares of prime numbers, then cubes and so on. And this curve looks like a logarithm. So it's natural to divide by logarithm. And then we have horizontal rows of prime numbers, of squares of prime numbers, of cubes of prime numbers, and so on. What should we do next? So our division by log was not quite good. We need to divide by what? By von Mannhardt function. And if you divide by von Mannhardt function, you will see that these all points are very, very neatly situated along the horizontal line. And let us denote this value omega 3000 according to this. This is just the value of the point 13. I think it's very small. And in fact, they are very accurately lie on the horizontal line. This ratio differs from 1, less than this small quantity, for all powers between 13 and 419. Or alternatively, this ratio differs from this omega 3000 less than this small number for the same range of powers of prime. This is the picture that you saw already. And now I want to do the following thing. I wish to remove 11 first values. I replace them by empty circles. And I wish to add 11 new values corresponding to the values of von Mannhardt function. I just correct my picture at the very beginning. Analytically, I just consider this ratio and this finite sum. This will cancel these 11 values, and this will add new 11 values here. And we can say that this series looks like this multiple of this series. Of course, this is finite, this is infinite, And also, as we saw, from some point, these deltas grow up very fast. This is well-known sum. This is just the negative of the logarithmic derivative of zeta function. Yes, that's what I said. Initially, coefficients behave nicely, like the value of one magnitude function, but then they grow up. Nevertheless, can we ask the following question? Could this expression be close to this value? This is a crazy question in two senses. First, this expression for logarithmic derivative does not converge inside the critical strip. So this need not be equal in any sense. And also, here we have only initial coefficients close to this von Mannich function. After that, they are quite different. And surprisingly, this is a very good approximation of the logarithmic derivative, in spite of all these stupid transformations. And we can see it numerically. First of all, we can multiply here by the denominator, and then we expect such approximate equality. And first of all, it is natural to taste it when s is equal to zeta 0, then the first summon will disappear. This is a good approximation. Here is an example when we can take hundredths 0 of zeta function, we will obtain 36 decimal digit correct. But if we take a larger value of zeta 0, we get even better approximation. My impression is that this is so because we are at a larger distance from the pole. What about other points not equal to zeta 0? Let us take, for example, such a point inside the critical strip. And indeed, we get a rather good approximation to the derivative of zeta at that point. Thus, we can calculate the value of the derivative via our finite sum. But unfortunately, here we need to know the value of zeta itself. This is one of shortcomings of this formula. But we can avoid it in the following way. We can write similar approximate equality for the other value of capital N. Here we have 3000, here we have 3500. And we can look at this at a system of two equations with two unknowns. The value of zeta and the value of its first derivative. And if we solve this system, we obtain 908 correct decimal digits for the zeta and 72 correct decimal digits for its derivative. This is one way to calculate both zeta and its derivative at the same time, but we here need to consider two different sizes of our determinants. But we can do it a bit differently. We can use the functional equation and write down the following. We can just replace S by 1 minus S. So now we have two equations, but we have four unknowns. But we can use the functional equation and we can differentiate it and get the functional equation for the derivative. We can treat it as a system of four equations with four unknowns. Zeta at S is derivative there, zeta of 1 minus S and its derivative at this point. And we can solve this system of four equations with four unknowns and obtain 752 correct decimal digits for zeta of S and 72 correct digits for its derivative. So there are such strange, surprising ways to perform calculations by our new data with obtained with the functional equation.